I am so happy to start this new year by welcoming Lauren Long back to the studio. He's a two-time Golden Kite recipient and won a pair of gold medals from the Society of Illustrators in New York. We know and love him well for his series of Otis books, which he both wrote and illustrated. He is also the illustrator of The Little Engine That Could, Toy Boat, Mr. Peabody's Apples, Of Thee I Sing by President Barack Obama, and my personal favorite, I Dream of Trains. Tonight, he brings us a brand new book that he did both write and illustrate. It is titled Little Tree. Lauren, welcome back to Around Cincinnati.
Thank you, Barbara. Great to be here again.
It is so good to see you. I want to start us off right away by reading a bit, if you would, from Little Tree.
Here we go. Little Tree. Once there was a little tree filled with little leaves, who was surrounded by other little trees, who had little leaves of their own. In the heat of long summer days, Little Tree's leaves kept him cool. The squirrels would climb up on his branches to play. The morning dove landed in him and sang her fluty song. The little tree was sure to grow up big and strong. Autumn arrived and cool winds filled the air. The wind tickled the little tree as it passed through his branches and ruffled his leaves. The air grew cold and the leaves on all of the trees changed color, becoming yellow, red, and orange. Then, one by one, the trees began to drop their leaves. But not Little Tree. He just hugged his leaves tight. "Hello, Little Tree," said a squirrel. "You're supposed to drop your leaves now." But Little Tree was unsure. What would he do without his leaves? Winter came. "What are you doing with those leaves still on you?" asked the doe. Little Tree just hugged his leaves tight. Springtime arrived, and the little forest burst into life again. The other trees grew bright new leaves. The squirrels played in their branches. Little Tree could hear the morning dove singing her fluty song. The seasons continued to come and go. "Little Tree," quacked a duckling, "your leaves are brown. Are you feeling sick?" A fox said, "Little Tree, it's autumn. It's time for you to drop your leaves. You can do it. Ready? 1, 2. But Little Tree just hugged his leaves tight.
So meanwhile, the rest of the forest is changing, of course, and we'll let readers discover what Little Tree chooses to do ultimately. What I wanted to talk with you about is that, in my experience, the best of children's literature, of course, has a message for us adults who are reading it to our children as well as to the kids. And this particular book certainly has one, the idea that letting go is hard to do, as the old song says.
Right.
But it came from a particular experience in your life, as I understand it. So tell us where Little Tree came from.
It came from a lot of experiences that aren't necessarily unique to me, but I believe we all share as human beings, no matter what age or type of person, what stage in our lives we are coming from. But for me, Barbara, it came from watching my two sons grow and one of them leaving to go off to college and the reality and the finality of that moment in my life. And the funny thing is, it's about him, right? But it also internally became about me and this idea that these things are happening and changing in my life and I cannot do anything about it. And I was not expecting that emotion. I was so excited. I thought my wife Tracy would have a tougher time with it than me, but it's like his life flashed before me. I remembered him on his first day of kindergarten, gripping my knee and crying, saying, "Don't leave me, don't leave me." And the profoundness of that moment of a young father dropping his child off on the first day of kindergarten and that child being so afraid to go into that building where he didn't know anyone. He was with a teacher he didn't know, with a bunch of kids he'd never seen before. I'll just never forget that day and that event in his life, which was also in my life. But then all these years later, we had the backpack, all the stuff ready in the car, and he was standing there, and we got one last photo at home on our driveway. And I remember thinking, I wanted to run and grab his knee and cry and say, "Don't leave me." So the little tree came from that. It came from losing my father in the past few years. It came from these things that are out of my control. It came from Tracy and I deciding to move across town when my two little boys were entering into high school and middle school. These are events in my life that aren't unique to me, but everyone. And I just remember that writing this little story that I thought of as a little fable and this little almost a self-help book for me with no intention of it. Usually when I write, Barbara, I'm trying to write a book. I'm trying to write a hopeful best-selling picture book. This was a story that I wrote very briefly, and it's a simple little text, but it was just this notion that if we don't let go of certain things in our life, we will stunt our growth. And I had this simple thought, like a tree who won't drop its leaves. And I thought, that's a little comforting to me. I'll stunt my growth if I can't let go of these things. And then I realized it was so comforting to me. Maybe it would comfort someone else, whether it's a little kindergartner going to school who might understand Little Tree on a much different level, or it's a librarian getting ready to retire, or a person going through a real-life adult struggle in their life, a new job, a tough relationship, those kinds of things.
Yes. I'm wondering, since this does have come from a very personal place, was the actual process of doing the artwork cathartic for you? I mean, is that creative process a part of the healing, if you will?
Yeah, it was cathartic. It was inspirational. Of course, now I have to remind myself of this story. But it's one of those things, if it's the first time I ever wrote something that actually stayed with me. And it was sitting in the closet for a couple of years. But I kept remembering it. And I kept thinking, remember, Lauren, be like the little tree in your story if you're going to practice what you preach type thing. And it didn't go away. So the next step was actually envisioning it. Could this really be a book? Could this really be a picture book for children? It was cathartic, and it was sort of like a little bit of self-therapeutic. And I've been very pleased touring last fall that I've shared this story now with hundreds, thousands of children. As a children's author, they tour you, and when you're toured, I should say, you're in elementary schools. So oftentimes I'm with kindergartners, first graders, and second graders, sometimes third graders, sometimes fourth and fifth. But I'm presenting this book that helped me as a 50-year-old to children that are 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And I wondered how it was going to work. But I've been really pleased at, I'm always amazed at how much a 4 and a 5 and a 6-year-old can grasp, and how we sometimes tend to think, oh, that's above their head. But it's amazing how much they pull in. And even sometimes I'll share back sketches and things like that. And sure, some of those little 4-year-olds is going right over their head. But this simple notion, after I'm talking to them of the little tree message, they grasp it. They get it. So I feel like it's a book for all ages.
I want to ask you to take us on an abbreviated tour, if you would, because this book has something in common with your other books, which is, it is gorgeous. It's just beautiful.
Thank you.
So I'm interested to know, we've talked a little bit about the origin of the book, if you will, the idea, where it came from. But what's the editing process like, both in terms of the illustrations and the text? And then one of the gorgeous parts of this book, there's this beautiful copper paper that is the inner lining of the binding, and the paper itself is a matte. There's a lot of white on the page. So tell us about process, if you would.
The best way I approach writing, and I never view myself so much as a writer because I started out making pictures, and it's been one of the big pleasures in my career and honors, really, and joys to actually write some things and have them published. So it's like you're asking questions. Okay, I first write it down with no real hope that it's going to be good, because if I did, I'd never start. You know, I'd never write the first sentence if this is going to be great. So I assume it's just going to be something I'm trying to create. And I put it down. And then practical questions, like I have this profound moment, hoping it's profound, where the little tree drops his leaves. In my first writing, I had a deer come up out of the woods when the trees were bigger. And all of a sudden, because the little tree's at eye level, I had the deer eating his leaf, except one. And I thought that was a nice plot point, and it was idiosyncratic. I thought it was sort of odd. But later, I realized that that's eating at the heart of my message, because it makes somebody else make the choice right for me. I had to edit that out. That's an example of a writing edit. But when it came to the art, I've done enough books now, and I've generally approached my art in the same way with a similar style that I've developed over years. So I was asking myself, could I really bring something new to the table? Could I truly do something different? And I tried a bunch of different techniques. And I'm asking myself, you know, you got to keep trying to reinvent yourself on some level. I think every artist grapples with this throughout their career. There are tweaks in this. I've used a lot of white background, but I tried three specific different techniques. And every time I thought, that's pretty good. And then I thought, but I don't see myself in it. Mm. I would look down there and I'd be like, okay, I see this could have been done by a bunch of people. But as a personal connection, there was nothing there. I mean, I tried doing some paper mache stuff, which I would like to do at some point, just kind of totally break the mold. We try and get out of the box. We jump out of the box and then we realize, wait, we're actually still in there. Yeah. But on this one, I finally just decided, you know what, just paint. Paint the coolest tree you can paint. Design the funnest squirrels you can do and deer. And so if you know my work, you'll see it in here, definitely. But I viewed it as one perspective. I could see this being performed in a school play. You come in, you sit in a certain seat, and you look up on the stage, and the trees are formatted in front of you, and you don't move. Most of my art, I'm trying to be a film director and get above the camera angle, get below, do a profile, zoom in tight, zoom back, like Scorsese or Spielberg, and I'm choosing these moments. How most dramatically to carry off an emotion in the moment of a book. This one, it's pretty much laid out in the same format because I wanted the viewer to see the growth. So we start with a row of small trees. You're sitting in the same vantage point and you turn the page and those trees are still there and you keep turning the page from front to back and you see the growth and more specifically the lack of growth in the protagonist here, the little tree. So it was very important for me to not do what I typically want to do, and that is change the vantage point of the viewer. And then in the end, when they're all grown and the spread is nothing but these fully grown big trees, you can still find the little tree because of its leaves, the oak, and because it's in the same place it has been standing the entire book.
Yes. It's a beautiful book, as I said, and does have a wonderful truth for all of us. It's so delightful to be with you.
Thank you so much, Barbara.
I've been talking with Loren Long about his latest book. It is titled Little Tree. The New York Times Book Review describes it as a gentle but powerful story. You'll find more information about it at wvxu.org/AroundCincinnati. I'm Barbara Gray.